Welcome to the So What Are You Eating podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Alicia.
And today we've got an Authors Behaving Badly episode.
Yes.
I love these.
These are my favorite.
Y'all be wilding out there.
I think it's the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know.
I think we were talking about it before in our text message. We were like, our lives are pretty boring, so other people's drama is so exciting.
Especially because, like, it'd be so unwarranted.
Yes. Is all usually you're like this?
Like what?
Was
the
no
fuck?
Need for you to do that.
That's usually yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it shocks me that people have this much in them because like I'm
time. It usually shocks me people have that much time because you know me, I'm a busy bitch.
That and I am just way too lazy. Like the way I will
and energy right.
It'll evaporate before it ever gets
oh
there.
Oh my god,
maybe that's bad.
I'll be thinking about it. I should be eviler. Actually, you know what? Never mind.
yeah, literally. I would never. And like the things that they think to do in response to like it's the tools they pull out right. to get this stuff done. Like the rationalization is what really gets me. So like, I don't know. I'm a nosy bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know.
I like to be in people's.
I
business.
Have no and like honestly, like I'm never gonna comment on it. I mean, other than like this, obviously, but like, I'm not one of those people that's in the comment section replying back
oh,
to
yeah,
folks.
Right.
I'm, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that person. I am
nope.
merely a spectator.
Yes.
Like,
I
will
judging
never
everybody.
Break
I'm
this
judging
rule.
Every angle.
Right. Yeah. I'm judging. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Now, some angles are so like, please, bitch,
too
get the fuck out
me.
Of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get. Don't piss me off right now. I'm not even looking at that. Like that. Like that is the level that we're
right.
at. With some of this, so.
Oh, I'm excited.
Very.
Before we get into that, what have you been reading? Are you on Priory still?
I'm still going through everything.
Oh.
I haven't even read anything this week. Are
oh.
you kidding me?
Me neither.
Oh my gosh. This is like I don't have an excuse. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like I've just been doing so many other things. I've been out of town twice.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's yeah. I've been catching up on work and some sleep. And The Sims, because
mm-hmm.
what I did, I could talk about that. What I did was delete all of my families
Ooh.
That I had in the game, because I was that person. Like I'm not gonna say this because it'll be wrong of me, but I have like this thing where like I can't play just one storyline at a time, and I didn't realize how weird that was. And I don't know any other people that play The Sims out there if y'all do this, but like I would have like 50 Sims. That I personally made, constructed lives for out there going about their business, like, at a time. And I had talked to a couple other people that play The Sims, and they're like, girl, what? And I'm like, what? And they're like, you play, like, apparently the norm.
You're supposed to, like, play a whole life.
Play a whole life at a time. Like, basically,
like one
till
life.
Till you get game over.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make different things out of that. Some people play different storylines. Some people go, like, generational.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, different challenges you can do, like, have 100
oh,
babies,
okay.
like, shit like that. Like, but you got a character, right? Like, you've got a thing. Typically, that's how. It,
but
not
that's
me.
Not how you were doing it.
No, I was creating an entire world.
A whole village.
Of my
people.
Sims. And I was like fucking up their lives together.
Oh my God.
And like if a house had too many kids in it, because I would have them kind of doing their own thing in the background. If a house had too many kids on it, I start deleting kids. Like whatever I got to do to maintain. So.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm not playing that way this time though. I deleted all those families in favor of one that I really like, and I'm just going to take them through their lives. And that's still going to produce me a lot of Sims.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we're following their family line.
Okay.
So I'm trying to make sure that everybody dies of old age. I'm not going to make any of them immortal until at least the third or fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long this lasts.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing. So,
Ooh.
What have you been reading?
I've been reading The Firm. By John Grisham,
mm-hmm.
Which is I picked up this book
it's
like at
thicker
a,
than I thought.
Yeah, I picked up this book at a good time because this book came out I want to say in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
And he decided to start up a new. It came out in 91, so there's a new book coming out like the part two of this,
mm-hmm.
The Exchange coming out in October. So I picked it up like right at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I'm almost done with it. I haven't been able to read it because I've been doing all my grad school work. But The Firm is really good. It's about Mitch McDear, and he is working. He gets out of law school. He's like the top guy in his law school. He went to Harvard Law, so he's got like the top pick of the jobs. All the top firms are looking for him. Mm-hmm. He picks Bendini, Lambert, and Locke, which is based out of Memphis, Tennessee. It's like a small firm. But they make a lot of money. They have like the top. They work for the top clients. They're like only have super rich clients,
right?
And they also don't hire black people or women, which is odd.
I love that we keep mentioning this.
Yeah,
keep driving it home.
So Mitch gets a job there, but come to find out, the firm is really the mob, mm-hmm. and Mitch gets confronted by the FBI. And they're like, Mitch, you know, if you could help us take down the firm, we'll give you some money. And he's like, okay, well, how much money? And they're like, oh, you know, like $100,000. And Mitch is like, that's not going to work for me. I want $2 million.
For me to snim it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I flip-flop on this every time you say it because I'm like, $2 million, you're being unrealistic. But also, $2 million is about how much it would take.
To get me to flip on the mob.
To get me to even think about it.
To think about it, for real.
To get me to bring it to another person and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Right.
It should be four, right?
Right.
At least four. 4T, yes. Now we're talking.
Right. Now we're in the ballpark. So Mitch he's working to try to collect all this information so that he can turn on the firm. But in the firm they've bugged all of his house. They can hear everything. They bugged his house, they bugged his car, they bugged his office. They hear everything that they can hear everything that he says. But Mitch knows that. So him and his wife, Abby, are always they only say like when they want to have a real conversation, they go outside in the backyard. But
I would have bugged the backyard.
When they're around, you know, the bugs, they only talk about, like, the weather and stuff like that. The firm is, like, we were talking about this earlier. The firm is, like, the way to move up in the firm is, like, almost work yourself to death. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to work all day, work all these crazy long hours to, like, prove yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just don't ever want to be in a job like that. I don't want to work that hard. There's this meme. I don't want to move up no corporate ladders. Like, I don't want to do that. I just want to make my money and be left the fuck alone. So... that's what I've been reading. Mitch is just about to flip on the firm, but they're also put a hit out on Mitch. So is he going to make it to the end? We're going to find out. And, of course, I've been reading Murder and Cocktails.
Yes.
With Miss Ellie. Miss Ellie from England. She is...
Girl, how long is this trip?
Oh, I bet no Detective Carson's like, girl, how come every time it's a dead body, you around?
And
it?
How long is this trip? Like, it's been weeks.
She's staying there. She came just before Thanksgiving, and she's staying till the new year. So she's going to be there for a couple of months. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's her pheromones, because all of a sudden people are just dropping like flies around her. Because I don't know if there was murder at the Sunset Palms before, but she came here and now everybody's getting murdered. So.
No.
It's you, girl.
Honestly. It's your energy.
Right. So Ellie is at the Sunset Palms. Remember, I think last time I was telling you guys, Walter, he died. So everybody thinks that so far a lot of the heat is on Saul, the head waiter at the Hammerhead's Bar and Grill, which is like a restaurant that's at the Sunset Palms. They mm-hmm. think it's Saul. He kind of got into an argument with Walter earlier, and Walter threatened to get him fired. So they're like, oh, it got to be him. It must be him. Like, it couldn't be somebody else. It's got to be Saul. But obviously, I don't think it's Saul because they're putting too much. They're making it. He's a red herring. You know what I mean? They're putting too much at him. So, but when they found Walter had been not poisoned, but he had somebody had put volume in his drink, which makes, when you mix volume and alcohol together, it makes your breathing slow down a lot. And so he died because he just like stopped breathing.
Yeah.
And they found the drink wrapped up in Saul's apron. He was like doing a test to see if the resort liked these new aprons that they were going to try out on everybody. And he, so he was like the test guy. Mm-hmm. And so they found his specific apron, mm-hmm. The cup wrapped up in his apron. And that was like stashed somewhere.
No.
So, yeah, that's absolutely what I'm saying. It's not. Definitely, that's a red herring. It ain't him. So
unless it was him, but it wasn't. Like, it was him, but he's trying to make it seem like he is a red herring. So he does something blatantly obvious, like plant his own evidence on himself for us to find. So that we think it's not him, when really it was him.
Right, the double back. Trying to misdirect us. The mm-hmm. double back, right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we'll see.
I'm going to look so guilty, you're not even going to think I'm right? guilty. And I'm confessing right now.
And I'm telling you, it
I'm
was
literally
me.
Telling you. I used to do that to my mom.
That is terrible.
I would say something outlandish that I had actually done, and she would be like, stop playing with me. And I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Got him. We fucking got him.
Right. So that is what I have been reading. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about this author. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Before we get into too much, we wanted to take an opportunity to thank our sponsor, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery. The Anxious Tomato is more than a simple art gallery. Started by Ashley Laufer and Kate Roussel in their stride to connect with the local artistic community, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery strives to provide more education and accessibility to art and artists in Tacoma and its surrounding areas. They aspire to be an experience for the public, ensuring that everyone leaves with a renewed view of art and the artists behind it. Their online presence allows for artists of various mediums to submit work, be recognized, and engage with the community. If you'd like to experience a new type of art gallery, support, engage, and donate to the Anxious Tomato at anxioustomato.com. That's anxioustomato.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
All right. Take it away, girl.
All right. So listen. I briefly mentioned to you about this at one point, mm-hmm. like kind of what was going on as it was like first coming out. And I'm glad that I waited this long.
Ooh, because all the juice came out.
Such a weird way to put it. Okay. Yeah. But also not really.
Ooh, not yet.
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, this is kind of still, in my opinion, ongoing. It'd be ongoing until the day I died. Me, like, I would
never gonna stop.
I would be Arya Stark every night before bed, like chanting this man's name and praying on his downfall. Like, I, you know, but I'm not healed. So
I'm not healed. It's I'm still not okay.
Maybe Haley Hughes is healed, and she does not do that, but. To me, this seems ongoing. So basically, for anyone that doesn't know, this all came to fruition like a couple weeks ago, almost a month ago, where this self-published indie author, Matt Shaw, basically like responded in the worst way possible to a review. Like,
oh, no.
Not
Why
the
do
worst.
They do that.
They always do that.
And I'm going to say something that I got from Reads with Rachel mm-hmm. on YouTube. Authors should not be in reviewer spaces. Mm-hmm. This is not a space for you.
Correct.
This is a space for reviewers.
Readers.
We're
Readers
here to review your book. This is not for the author.
Right. So, and like, okay, while I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to save this for the end, but I'll say it now. Like, he was upset about a negative review he got from one person. And I and many other... So, like, there's different degrees. I need to also mention that this is, like, the extreme horror genre. So, for things like extreme horror, for those of us who are... I don't want to say, like, vanilla, but, like, you know, we're just not really into that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As far as what we like to read for pleasure. Like, mm-hmm. there's times that you do want to drift into those other genres. And so, we look... sometimes for those reviews that from extreme horror fanatics who are like, oh, this is kind of boring. This isn't really, you know, like, we look for that because that's a good entry. Right.
Mm-hmm. You could be like, this one's not going to be too crazy.
Right, exactly. My point being that all of these reviews have their place.
Right, absolutely.
Even mm-hmm. negative attention can yes. be good attention mm-hmm. if it's channeled the right way.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody might even hate read a book. Like, let me see what was so bad about this. That's more money right. in your pocket, mm-hmm. another book sold, in my opinion. So with all that being said, the fact that he reacted this way, and you're right, they shouldn't be in reviewer spaces because that wasn't for you.
Right. It wasn't
That's
meant for you.
Readers. Mm-hmm. That is for someone to read it. And they might even disagree. Right? Right,
you might have had, like, somebody say, like, no, that's not how I felt right. about it or whatever.
This is a masterpiece, right? But you didn't even let that happen because you've just proven to be, in the best case scenario, unprofessional and a creepazoid and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of weird, misogynistic. Worst case scenario, like, narcissistic, manipulative, like, gross. Bully is the right word. Who really likes torture porn. Mm. So, okay. like, there. So, okay, let's just get into
it. Yeah, let's start from the top.
So, who is Matt Shaw? He's this guy, literally born in 1980.
Oh, an 80s baby? Why you gotta do that to the
1980.
80s?
That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
That man is 52. Acting like a grown ass man.
I was going to say a grown ass man.
His birthday is actually September 30th.
Oh.
So I think that makes him a Libra. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
Sorry.
Libras out
so,
there.
So he was born in Winchester. Okay. I have to read his bio on Goodreads.
Ooh.
Because it says so much about him.
Do they write their own bios on Goodreads?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, you can. I didn't know that.
You know what? You know what's crazy? His bio is what convinced me
that
they must be writing these themselves.
Yeah.
Or at least submitting.
I was gonna say at least having like input on it.
Right.
That is so funny.
Let me see if.
Oh, I didn't know they wrote their own bios. I need to use our Goodreads more.
Let me see his bio, bro. Mm. Like, they're crazy for... Anyway, so he says... it says, Matt Shaw was born quite by accident. His mother tripped. He shot out September 30th, 1980 in Winchester Hospital, where he was immediately placed on the Abbey Ward and eBay. Some 12 years later... wandering the corridors of the hospital and playing with roadkill when he was on day release, the listing closed and he remained unsold. He was booted out of the hospital to start his life as a writer and hobbit, beginning with writing screenplays and short stories for his own amusement before finally getting published when he was 27 years and 45 seconds old. Once published weekly in a lad's magazine with his photography work, Matt Shaw is also a published author and cartoonist, has to be said, can be a bit of a flirt and definitely without a shadow of a doubt, somewhat of a klutz.
Goodbye, sir.
I don't know if he thought this was like his Tinder bio. Yeah,
first of all, this isn't a dating page, sir.
His Tinder bio?
Talk about your fucking writing skills and experience, maybe what college you went
to. He might as well have told us how tall he was and that he likes Swan Walks.
Seriously, what?
Like,
what is happening right now?
It's a lot. And I mean, it's giving me the same weird... Like overinflated sense of self. Like, this is something you write. This is something you write after you won a Pulitzer.
Oh my God.
Okay, this can be your bio after you've, like, gotten very prestigious awards.
Right.
After you're, like,
something that.
You know, you're 30 years in the game at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's absolute. Anyway, that's what we're dealing with. So.
That is so funny.
That's what we're dealing with. That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. So he began writing screenplays and short stories first before getting published at 27. He is much older than 27 now, the time of this. Grown ass man wrote that.
For real.
And I mean, he even goes into the fact that he wasn't adopted, like, that he was in, like, their version of foster care, I guess. Like, eBay? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
are you a package from Amazon, sir?
I don't know. The self, like, self-deprecation I can deal with. You know, I do the same thing. But, like, get to the fucking point, bro. Like,
yeah. What is the book about? What are your books
about?
This
is just, and this is just his regular-ass bio. They can put whatever they want here. Like, I'd rather hear about your dog. So, anyway. Whatever. So, who's Haley? So, Haley doesn't have as much info on the internet. Clearly, she's not a public figure, which is another thing I want to point out. He's, like, attacking a private citizen that, like, literally just makes YouTube videos. Like,
right.
Mind you, she's got a good following on YouTube. This is not to say, not to minimize her in any way, but, like, be fucking for real. Anyway, so, I just want to mention, like, there's not much info on the internet because she's trying to, obviously, keep her private life private. For the most part, to the point that I don't know how old she is. The only thing I could find was that she graduated in 2019, I'm assuming with her bachelor's degree. So I'm just going to put her around my age. Mm-hmm. I'm even going to age her up to 30 right on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
This is insane
mm.
that he's coming at her like this young woman like this. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so there's that. She's a trauma therapist during the day. That is her day job. She specifically works using narrative therapy and somatic techniques to give treatment. So, like, basically, narrative therapy is kind of reframing the story that you've told yourself your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get this totally wrong. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so whatever. But basically using that to, like, reframe your emotional reaction to that story mm-hmm. as a form of treatment, like, basically kind of getting over it through exposure to it. You
yeah.
know, sometimes when you hold things in for a long time, like,
right.
it builds up and yeah. then you can't even mention mm-hmm. it. And it's this whole thing. So, like, helping with that and then using somatic techniques, again, to figure out that connection between your mind and your body, the physical things that are happening, mm-hmm. some, like, crazy stuff, right? Really cutting edge and cool. So that's what she does during the day. And she just really champions a collaborative space for healing and all of that. So she kind of takes a holistic approach, it seems to me. But in her free time, she's a book talker and a booktuber. So, again, that's what we're dealing with. So, like, she's doing this in her free time. This is something she's clearly very passionate
right.
about. This is something cool. This is something constructive. Her viewers like it. It's cool. She's clearly a good reviewer also. So, like, that's what I wanted to point out. She's got 2,647 followers on TikTok. She might be a little bit newer to TikTok. But she's got over 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. So, like, this
so
is like a
thing. So she knows what she's doing.
Right. She knows. Mm-hmm. She clearly knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She's done it a bunch. I went to her page. I went to her YouTube. I like it. It's cool. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you listen for the books that are going to stand out to you as well as the books that you want to stay away from. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a thing. So very cool. Perfect place to do that. And basically, she describes her BookTube as, like, a bookish videos type, reading vlogs, reviews, wrap-ups, book hauls, etc. And, yeah, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are our characters. Boom. So basically what happened was in December of 2022, Haley was on her own YouTube and she does a roundup basically of the
mm-hmm.
year. I believe she does these monthly, or she did. But for we're talking about December 22.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was a wrap up for the month or wrap up of the year. I think it may have been for the year. Because in this video, she talks about the worst books that she's read in 2022. Now, I watched that video. It was a good 44 minutes long. There were plenty of books in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a lot. Some of them came from the extreme horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
She says that Matt Shaw's book, A Roll of the Dice, was the worst of all of those books in the video. Wait till the very, very end
mm-hmm.
for the finale. And she's like, this was the worst book I read all year. And she goes into why. And she gives very valid points, in my opinion. Like, again, this is a young woman just talking on
and
her
this
YouTube.
Is also her opinion. She's allowed to
it's
have an
her
opinion.
Opinion.
Yeah. Everyone's it, allowed to have
and
an
I
opinion.
And I made sure I watched it because I wanted to hear what was said, you know, whatever. I don't want to say it's to give him a fair shot because, like, I never fucking do that. Like, I don't have to be ethical. Like, I'm not a fucking,
yeah, this
like,
is
who
our
am
fucking,
I? You know what I mean? Like,
podcast.
Fuck
we
that.
Do
I don't have, I can be as biased as I fucking want to, bitch. I don't have a journalism degree or nothing.
Nope.
I'm over here running my fucking mouth, bitch.
Yep.
Anyway. So, like, it wasn't to give him a fair shot, but I just wanted to see. Like, see, what, like,
just
you
see what,
just
what the
see.
Video was about. What did she say?
And she basically said that she just, well, she described the novel as being lazy. She said that it was offensive, poorly written, and it just didn't make any sense. Now, it's one of those choose-your-own-adventure books. It's basically about a guy who, and I read the description of the book and everything, too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and read the fucking book for you guys, but sorry. But it's basically about a guy who makes his decision in his life based on rolling this die. These, I don't know if it's a pair of dice or if it's one die. Die is plural. I don't know. Fuck it. Rolls the dice. That's how he makes decisions. He's Harvey Dent in this shit, okay? Mm-hmm. He is Two-Face in this shit. It's just not a coin. Like, he'll be like, oh, if I roll a 1 to 4, you know, I won't kill myself. If I roll a 5 and 6, I will, kind of thing. Like, whatever. And these are, and of course, it's extreme horror. It's supposed to be. So it's basically a choose-your-own-adventure. You have your own dice, and then as he's about to make a decision, you actually roll it and you make the decision and then you flip to whatever page based on the results. I like choose your own adventure as far as like video games.
Yes, that is lazy writing. I totally agree with her.
So it's not that, and it is, but not in the way I originally thought. It could be really good. This has the potential to be in the hands of the right person. This could be awesome. And I think they used to do this kind of thing back in the day. But it was, she said it was like basically the result of an 11-year-old sexual awakening. Like, she said, imagine if this guy, this grown-ass man, is 11 years old and he's just learned he can get turned on and he decides to write a horror book. That is crazy. Anyway, she ate that.
Yes,
I put that in parentheses.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, she's like, if that person wrote a novel that also had to choose your own adventure element. So she basically says that there was no real gore or horror in the book. It's not really extreme horror. It was just his sexual fantasies, like, that he just threw up on the page, essentially. And that this is me saying this, not her saying this. But, like, it was a lot of just disjointedness. It was really weird, explicit sexual themes that involve death. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you roll the wrong thing, you know, basically you'll run into a dead end, you know, and choose adventure. That's how it goes. So it was that kind of thing. And again, could have been really good if you could write. Like, if you're going to have, because people, you know, they want to play along. They want to do your thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they're going to do it and they're going to take the effort to find a die or dice, period, to play this thing with you, it better be good, you
right
know? And some people did like it. I read some of the reviews, some of them were positive, they liked it. But like, a lot of these warnings she gave, also, like, there's bestiality in there, there's like all kinds of like weird, like, has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah,
this guy is just, it's kind of like the adventures of so-and-so, like, he's just a guy doing shit. So, and it's, and it's always like, it's leaning toward torture porn the whole time. So she's like, this is dumb. And she said a lot of it. She said also that, like, you can tell while you're reading it what he's thinking while he was writing it. And it just takes her out of the whole fiction of the book. Because I can tell you thought you ate that when I'm reading this.
Right.
Just like we felt when we read his author's note. You get what I'm saying? Like, you really thought
think
you...
this was good. Yeah. You really wrote
you were sitting at your computer kicking your leg.
Yes. You thought this line was so good.
You thought
it's
we were
going to
eat this shit up. No. That's what she's saying. And I get that completely. And she's like, nowhere is that more evident than with the extreme horror genre. That and the lack of consideration that that genre has for marginalized groups. So women, bi POC, LGBTQIA, disabled people, whatever. Like, they kind of just toss us in there to check off their diversity bit.
Right.
But the,
without
but the writing,
any actual context or caring to what's going
not at
on.
All.
Yeah.
The cultural competency isn't there. It's very, and that's what she meant by lazy. It's very lazy writing, very much, you know, like, tossing in use of the N-word, like, with no real purpose, no direction, no nothing, just because you're writing it, you know. And again, as a white male author, you do have to be cognizant of those things. Like, what are you writing?
Yeah.
You know, and
what's
it, like,
the
really,
real purpose of that?
What are you writing? So, and does it move the plot along? Like, you, like, don't just throw
use it just
people
to be
in
using
there.
It. Right.
Right. So, anyway, There was a lot of that. And she says that she, and in the video, I paid special attention to this because this is something that got buried, right? The stuff she said about the representation and how he was talking about Black people, women, gay people, all of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? All of that gets thrown away. And he wants to focus later on the women characters part. He like minimizes it to that. And it's like, no, and that's why I'm glad I watched what she actually said.
Yeah.
Because she said a whole
bunch of other stuff besides that.
Besides, right. And what she said was, I'm not a Black person, indigenous person of color, you know, or disabled or anything like that. I can only speak from the part of being LGBTQ and a woman. And in that regard, you absolutely failed. Like, that's what she was saying. So,
but she was like, I can guess you probably. If I was Black or those other people, I would probably say that you failed in that regard,
too. And that's what she
said.
She was like, as a trauma therapist, you don't know what kind of racial trauma you're inflicting on unsuspecting readers. Like, you're alienating huge parts of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Black people read extreme horror, women, you know, everybody reads this shit. Everybody wants to enjoy those genres. Mm-hmm. And I told you, like, that's why Fantasy Off pissed me off for a very long time. Like, you alienate. And there's just certain genres that we all have the understanding are not safe spaces for marginalized identities.
Yeah,
uh-huh. We just know that off rip. And if we choose to go that route, we kind of almost expect it.
Right.
But it can be very triggering for some people. So that's what she was saying. You know, very, very sound arguments. Like, and like, if you want to read it, she was like, you know, whatever, like, go read it. But like, it was poorly written and she stuck to that. So basically, she was saying it was kind of worse, like if whatever racism, homophobia, whatever, misogynistic views in the book had a purpose in the book, that's one thing. You know, it's still kind of shitty, but it's low-hanging fruit. But, you know, at least it would have a purpose and it's fine. But the way he's doing it, you can tell this is the way his brain works, I think is what she was trying to say. Like, you can tell this is unintentional. And that almost makes it worse because it's like, this is how you really feel. So, yeah, that's just really interesting context for the rest of it. So basically, fast forward to February 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Matt publishes another book called Moist Gusset.
I don't like it already.
Right, right. I had to look up what gusset means.
What is that?
It's material, I guess, that you put in to, like, reinforce something else, like a neck collar.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, that strip in your underwear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing he means the underwear part.
Ugh. I don't even like the word moist. I don't like that.
He knows. Like, and that now, like, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, this is, like, you clearly never touched a woman before.
Yes.
I can tell. Such loser.
Yes.
He's such a loser.
That reminds me of when we interviewed Books with Brandy, and she said that line had that damp penis line in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
I don't know why men write like that.
Yeah, please don't do that.
It's kind of like the same thing when like you ask, you know, the typical cisgendered heterosexual man like what they think is romantic, and they name the most disgusting.
Yes,
like,
and you're like, do you honestly think that's romantic?
Yeah.
For real.
Like, he thinks he's being a wordsmith here.
Yeah.
you know,
yes.
He thinks he's jamming the pants right off them. So anyway, in this book, he publishes it in February 2023. In the book, he dedicated it to Haley. Literally dedicates the book to her.
That's creepy.
Let me read you.
What you mean? I mean, you're paying too much attention, too close attention to the reviews.
I would
guy.
Be so creeped out.
Yes.
Especially because he gave no sign that he'd even
seen
her video at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? Like, my heart would fall out of my fucking ass. Not because you owned me, bro. Because I'm afraid of getting fucking murdered. Like, you're crazy.
Like, you watch my little video on YouTube?
And then you responded with such vitriol. And, like, I'm going to say it's vitriol because, again, we're talking about, like, a weird misogynistic pig
this
with narcissistic
This is full-on
tendencies.
Harassment.
Like, right. Okay. So it says in the description of the book, in the intro of the book, mind you, the fucking book is only 86 pages. Like, it's like almost like he wrote it for this.
Just for this. Yeah.
And that's why I don't even want to read it because I know, again, like, we're talking about a man who, like, has these weird sexual things. And, like, I don't even – that's how creepy this is. So, anyway, It says, there's an argument that men can't write romance, nor can they write good female characters. That's not what she said.
That's not what she said.
That's not what she said. That's like a sliver of what she said. She said it was poorly written. She said it was lazy. Right. She said it was lazy.
She didn't say men in general. She was talking about you, sir. Right. Don't try to generalize her comment.
Right. He blows that up too. So she did mention the extreme horror genre as being historically alienating of its people. But the whole women characters and her saying that men can't do, like, she never said that. She said y'all be racist, homophobic, and shit sometimes.
And you do.
And you do. And y'all think it's edgy. You're edgelord. Yeah. And she's right. Anyway. So there's that. But that's what manipulative people do. They latch onto one thing you said, mm-hmm. and then they just blow it up. And they're like,
that is so crazy.
Oh, I can't believe you said this. What? Anyway. I'm here to prove that argument correct with my tongue firmly pressed into my cheek. He's British. I think he means he's cheeky. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, so ladies, prepare thyself.
Please don't ever say that
to me. Don't fucking piss me off, bro.
Don't say that.
Don't you just want to, like, wring his neck like a chicken?
If I could roll my eyes hard enough to, like, you know pop what I them mean? Out of my like, head. Like,
I would
like,
literally.
What?
I want to roll my eyes down the fucking street.
Seriously.
Anyway. Such a fucking loser, bro. Oh, my God. Anyway. Take my hand and come with me on a romantic adventure guaranteed to get your gusset sticky.
Please stop saying that word.
This is a humorous book. That's my thing. Like, you think you're funny.
Yeah.
You really do. Anyway. This is a humorous book not intended to be taken as a serious romance.
Is it?
It's like, is the humorous in the room with us?
Right. Point it out specifically.
Where's the humor?
Yeah.
Humor, are you here? Anyway.
I need you to point it out to me.
It's intended for people with see how he alienates it's intended for people with a good sense of humor who wish to see just how bad things can get when a man writes through the eyes of a woman. Like, one, proved her point. Point blank. You're a misogynistic asshole. You're insane. You are a total creep.
And you're definitely
an
idiot, for
total
sure.
Total creep, idiot, loser. Literally, I don't, like, I feel bad for your mother. She carried you for 9 months, raised you. This is what she got.
And this is the result.
This is what she got.
Some real bullshit. She should take you back. Take him back. Can I exchange him? Can he do a late-term abortion?
You get what I'm saying?
30 years later.
Not even 30. That nigga's like 51.
Yeah, can he do a 51-year late abortion?
Oh, my God. Anyway, especially because he was born 19. Like, that man is going to be 44 probably this year. Don't piss me off. Anyway, so, yeah. So he dedicates the book to her. Like, says her name in the dedication.
And it's like, why do you have even, again, you have too much time
now,
on
this
your
is
hands.
Different than the actual dedication. This is just the outside cover of it. That's the crazy part. Anyway, that what I just read, that's only part. So, and it's funny because the first comment is hers, and of course it's a 1-star. So, I'll get to that in a second. So, in his intro, Matt claims in the, I guess there's like a prologue section, I don't know. Maybe it's the whole author's note. I don't fucking know. He says that women love his writing, saying that women send him videos of themselves masturbating to sex scenes in his books.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Period.
I can tell you that much right now. They don't do
that. They'll never do that.
They don't do that.
And the ones that do...
One person did
we
that
can't
one
save
time.
Them all. We can't save
one
them all.
One person did that once, and now he thinks he's a God's gift to women, okay?
Maybe. If that. Anyway, he then says he's good in bed and talks about how long he lasted with a recent partner in it. And then he makes a 7-minute TikTok after all of this where he rants about how unfair her reviews are. I did watch that too. I watched that whole thing, and it was like rambling on and on, bringing in dry jokes that had nothing to do. Like, again, this dude thinks he's funny. And it
was
just
the worst kind of people. The people who
and it was just insulting her and bashing her, like, personally. over one review.
Over one review, sir.
It's not like she reviews all your books. All
every and single out to book, get you. Right?
Like, no, this is one book she read of yours. She probably won't read another one. Anyway, when Haley heard about this, Haley didn't hear about this until August. So the book came out February, March.
Yeah.
She doesn't hear about this until August something, late August.
Wow.
So now we're around like August 17th, August 20th, somewhere in there. I don't know. But she finds out about it. Everybody's tagging her in it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he uses her fucking name. So that's how she knows.
Wow.
She goes over. She opens it up, gives it a one-star review. And this was her review. She says, apparently this book is about me. According to the author's comments on Facebook, nice to know I can bring valid criticism to everything I've read from him. Rather than taking a step back, separating himself from his art, and understanding that it's my job as a reviewer to give honest reviews. He writes a book about me. I really live in his mind rent-free. If it's not using me for clout, it's CP though, right? So I guess this is the lesser evil. She ain't.
Yes, that was a good response.
And she basically was like, I'm not paying for a book from this guy who's being a total creep and who I know likes to put torture porn in his books.
Mm-hmm.
You're not about to play with me. Like, and I get it. This is so fucking creepy. Especially
and
if she's
so
writing that book is about her. So unnecessary. Months.
From one review, so you can't get no negative reviews.
You're thinking about this young lady so much that you're probably writing a torture porn book
about her
and dedicated to her and you published
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Jail.
You think about her way too much.
Jail. Like, this is literally a true crime episode.
Yes.
Literally. You fucking kidding me? Anyway, Matt then uses this part. Basically, he uses the part where she basically says, I'm not paying for this man's book. He's a fucking creep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just read torture porn about myself. He uses this as a jumping point. Again, another manipulative tactic. Mm-hmm. Like, they use which they don't know what to say because it's indefensible, mm-hmm. their actions. So they'll wait till you say something and use it as a jump off so that they can, whatever. So he does that basically to say that because she didn't read this book that he clearly wrote about her, this discredits her as a reviewer. She's not good. She must not have read all the other books either then if she can't read this one, right? Like, that's his argument.
What does that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's his argument. And if you're not hip to the situation and you're just walking into this blind.
Sense.
So what he is trying to say is that, like, oh, you're not reading this book before you just give it a one star. How do I know you didn't do that with all the other ones? Clearly she didn't.
Yeah.
But that's what he's trying to say, to call her credibility into question. If you're a misogynistic bastard, you might be like,
you would definitely latch on to that.
I knew it.
If you are a fucking idiot.
I fucking knew it. That's why these bitches won't ever get a man. I knew it.
That's why you're going to die alone. They love saying that shit.
Right. Mind you, he's been all over Goodreads and everything, basically doing the smear campaign, slandering her, discrediting her as a reviewer. And acting like she's crazy when he's the one.
When you're the one acting
he's projecting,
like a psycho, yes.
When you're the psycho here. So then after all of that berating, smear campaign, all of that, he's like, oh, well, you know, if you want to talk like adults, you can like come on this podcast and
we can
hash out whatever you
sir,
want.
Get out of here.
And this is the other thing. He blows up this argument about her book review of him. He blows it up like he's going to spearhead this movement for all of the extreme horror genre. He made it about everybody.
Everybody, when it wasn't.
When it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was about
you. Yes.
And he goes on to be, oh, well, if you want to talk about, you know, the extreme horror genre as a whole, you can just come on this podcast. I don't want to, one, I'm not talking to you about shit. You're grown. You're literally middle-aged.
I'm not talking to you about anything, first of all.
You're literally a middle-aged man. I'm not arguing with no middle-aged man about nothing.
About nothing, sir.
Nothing. First
of all, find something to do, because I know that you ain't paying your bills with this shitty ass book.
What the fuck? I'm not arguing with you about anything, especially not anything that I didn't talk about. Like, she said she noticed a trend in the extreme horror genre. This is not a discussion.
And not only that, she ain't the only one to say the
it's
same
facts.
Thing. Yes.
And why would she go on some creepy ass fucking alien
podcast?
And that's what they do. these dudes, these misogynistic, like the podcast bros all over the world, they do this thing where they invite intelligent women, or, you know, by POC or whatever marginalized group they're trying to make fun of and humiliate onto these podcasts to give out like no fucking points. But they've got eight dudes with them in the room who are all built in to like act as a laugh track whenever you say something that they don't understand. They make you repeat yourself. They argue you in circles and it's exhausting. And they do that to make you tired so that eventually you just give up on whatever you're saying. Like they're not there to actually talk to you. And I just want to say that as a PSA. Women, people who identify as femmes, like all of my marginalized people, stop going on these fucking podcasts, bro. They're not listening to you. They are not there to actually talk to you. Yeah,
stop trying to prove your point.
This is what they do. And so then, when she doesn't want to go on his creepy-ass podcast, he acts, he uses this as another jumping point to be like, see, I offered her an olive branch. I'm trying to be nice to her and get and let her get whatever off her chest. She doesn't want to take it. Why the fuck would she want to take it?
And I don't have anything to get off of my chest, sir. I've said my piece in my video. I'm done.
I said my thing. That was it.
That was it.
And it's like... And this young girl, all she, not young girl, this young woman, all she's supposed to do, like, she only crops up to, like, defend herself when there's, like, outright slander going on. But, like, this is insane. And then he, like, calls her Amber Heard and, like, all of this other stuff. Like, he's cuckoo bananas. So there's that. There's no real discussion to be had. This is all baiting. And when she doesn't take his supposed olive branch, she's crazy for that. Luckily, of course, like, now, mind you, the reception on this has been, like, the consensus on this has been he's a fucking psycho. Mm-hmm. The issue is that there are still a pocket of those people that believe this shit wholeheartedly or will support this person or whatever. Right. You know, of course.
They're still coming to his defense.
Of course. And it's weird. So he just has, like, a total lack of self-awareness. You know, he's really manipulative. It's weird. So, yeah. She basically doesn't really engage anymore. He winds up setting his Twitter to private, but he's still on that private Facebook group, like, just taunting her or whatever. So it's fucked up. Anyway, things to note. So basically, she made a discussion video during that same timeline with another creator. It was pretty long. I'm going to watch it, but... I didn't watch it this time. And that's where they actually do discuss the extreme horror genre as a whole. Because that's when she was like, you know what? Actually, I do have
something. Yeah, I have a couple of things to say, actually.
Because y'all are not going to sit here and act like this is not a problem.
Right. That this isn't like something these arguments valid. Aren't valid. Yeah, right.
You know, if that's where you want to take the argument, fine. But she chose to do it on her own platform, I'm assuming. So,
with sane people.
So anyway, that's... That video, this was in August. She had not seen the post yet. She hadn't seen the dedication. Mm-hmm. So she starts talking about the extreme horror genre unannounced, essentially, before everything started. That video received a certain amount of backlash from extreme horror fanatics, which Matt Shaw was probably then brought to him by his For You page.
Right.
It's at this point in August that he decides to reach back and dig it up. To basically show her, yeah, this is what I wrote about you. Like.
Yeah, that's weird.
You're a loser.
Yes.
That's how she found it, turns out. This is stuff I learned after the fact. So, like, that's really weird. Anyway, that's what happened. And that's probably also why he brings up, like, that was also the cat. But that's the other thing. Again, he tries to use the extreme horror genre as the catalyst for this. But no, you wrote that way before.
Right.
And you did all of this as a response to her review.
Yes.
And that's what she's talking about. And you're trying to bring up this other thing unrelated. Like, it's.
You're trying to bring up a whole bunch of other stuff when she's talking about you and your book and how it was terrible.
So I literally wrote, it's giving loser incel.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he sounds like an incel.
He even misspells her name on purpose in the dedication, like, to be rude and nasty, like...
You're such a loser. I know you know how to spell her name because you're obsessed with her.
You're obsessed. Anyway, so he's grossly unprofessional at best, like I said. And he's ruined his brand, like I said earlier.
Nobody's
like,
going to want to work with you.
To me. You know, like, anytime I hear that name now in indie author spaces or, like, in reader spaces, I'm going to be like,
Yeah, I wouldn't read that book.
I'm a side eye.
Yeah.
If you like him. That's all I'm gonna do. It's like when my mom told me she listens to Chris Brown the other day. I'm so sorry, Mom. Mm-mm. I don't want to expose you, but.
I just did.
She said it with her chest, bro. I was heartbroken.
And you were like, no.
I was like, I can't even unpack this for you right now. Like, I have to go.
Oh.
I be tripping, bro. Like, literally. Anyway, so that's where we're at with that. So that's what I mean by, like, it's still kind of ongoing. Because, like, he hasn't really let up as far. He just has taken it to his corner of Facebook.
Right.
With the other incel losers.
Yes.
To complain about her and be fucking crazy. Like,
what a creepy weirdo.
That's so scary.
Yeah.
I want him behind bars. Like, that is so scary to me.
You need to be.
And she's just living her life. Right. Like, oh my God. Anyway, sorry, indie authors.
Y'all get your boy.
I love y'all. Yeah, literally. I know y'all don't claim him, right. But like,
get your boy.
I'm scared.
Oh, that was good. That was a good story.
That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Bad, but.
But yes, again, that
good
was.
Good for my purposes.
Right. That was a good story. Before we get out of here, I just want to say we got a lot of new followers because I was on the Recovery Elevator podcast.
Ooh.
And I told them about our podcast, of course, because, nice. You know, I'm always promoting.
Gotta be out there.
Welcome to everybody from that who, if you found us from the Recovery Elevator podcast, thanks for joining us. What else do we got going on? If you're in Tacoma, you guys need to head over to the Anxious Tomato. We have got our mixer coming up at the Anxious Tomato Mix and Mingle. It's going to be on October 13th. It's going to be like a.
Is that a Friday?
Mm-hmm. It's Friday the 13th.
Purr.
Yeah.
I do this every month.
Yes. When we get off here, I'm going to show you the dress that I think I'm going to get.
Oh my God.
It's like semi-formal, so you guys need. It's a reason to dress up. Yeah.
Period.
So get your tickets. There's going to be Locust Cider is going to be there. So there's going to be some cider there to drink. And there's going to be like a little collage project for everyone to do so that we can put them all up together at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a good time. So head over to theanxioustomato.com for all the deets.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, at the end of this month, the end of September, I want to say it's the 29th, the last Sunday in September, we've got the Locust Cider Show on Sixth Ave.
I love it.
Yeah, from 4 to 7. So go check that out. And then, of course, come check us out at the So What Are You Reading podcast on Instagram.
Yep. Follow that link tree.
Yes.
Find out all the places that we be.
Yeah. And fill out the guest questionnaire so you can be a guest on the show.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an author. We love talking to authors. But we love talking to everybody.
You have to redeem yourself.
So much fun. Yes.
Do it.
Yes. We got to get an author on here and get you guys back on the
You know
side.
What I mean?
Yeah.
We got to end on a high note.
Yeah. But if you, our last author was awesome though, Michael Schotter.
Oh,
he
amazing.
Was awesome. I think I'm gonna start reading his book next.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Big Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start that. But I think that's all we got going on, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Go check us out, and we will talk to you guys next weekend.
Later.
Bye.